Six men of Yemeni background from the town of Lackawanna, New York, near Buffalo, pleaded guilty earlier this year to training with a terrorist organization. They'd gone to Afghanistan, to a camp run by Osama bin Laden. The Lackawanna Six were alluded to as an underground terrorist cell by President Bush in his State of the Union message.
We've broken Al-Qaeda cells in Hamburg, Milan, Madrid, London, Paris, as well as Buffalo, New York.
The six are also the subject of a joint New York Times PBS Frontline investigation. The documentary airs Thursday night. A New York Times story of more than 9,000 words appeared yesterday. Lowell Bergman, who writes for the Times, is producer and correspondent for Frontline, and with Matthew Purdy shared the byline of the Sunday story. Lowell Bergman, I came away from the Times story with doubts as to whether the Lackawanna Six really constituted a terror cell, but not much doubt that there were people in Al-Qaeda who had hoped that they would be one. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I mean, I think everyone would agree that they went over there and there was an attempt to recruit them.
An attempt which culminated in their actually meeting Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, well, Mr. Alawan, who we spoke with, Sahim Alawan, met with him three times in a course of 2 weeks.
Talk a bit about Sahim Alawan. This is a man who gave the team two jailhouse interviews describing the entire experience.
That's correct. And it's pretty unusual. No American who's been to an Al-Qaeda camp and met with bin Laden has ever sat down for an interview before.
It's a very stunning moment where he quotes bin Laden as essentially inquiring as to the readiness of American Muslims to become Mujahideen. What happens there?
Well, this is sort of his exit interview. He's getting out of the camp after 10 days, having feigned injuries and made a stink about wanting to leave. And bin Laden interviews him in Kandahar, in his home. And Sahim Alawan says that he asked, how do the Americans, meaning the American Muslims, look at our operations, meaning the martyrdom operations, the suicide bombings in the coal in Nairobi and so on. And Alawan says that he told him that they don't think about them very much, that he explained to them that Muslims are doing relatively well in America. But as he says, he was worried. He didn't want to say too much because he was trying to get out of there. But bin Laden seemed to accept his explanation and let him go.
So what emerges from the account of Sahim Alawan? What does he say was his motivation for leaving Lackawanna, New York, a fairly seems typical American community, and going off to Afghanistan?
But remember, Lackawanna actually is a larger community within which there's a small Yemeni American community, a working class community. And these guys all grew up together in this community. They're American citizens. They ran into one of their childhood friends, Kamal Derwish, who had returned for many years in Saudi Arabia, a very charismatic proselytizer of strict fundamentalist Islam. They became fascinated, in a certain ways, under his spell. In Mr. Alawan's case, he had already expressed a great interest in Islam, had studied on his own. He was amongst the oldest in the group and had a community college education, had a good job, had a family. But he went, he said, to experience the Mujahideen side of Islam, and says he did not know prior to going that this was a camp run by Al-Qaeda, run by bin Laden.
So far as you can figure it out, was Kamal Derwish here on instructions of Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden or Ayman al-Zawahiri or anyone else?
As far as we can tell, it now appears that he was in contact with some of the higher-level people in Al-Qaeda. If not before this incident took place, definitely afterwards. He was apparently a veteran of the Afghan camps, a veteran of the coal bombing. More of his portrait was filled out by the government after 9/11. Prior to that, they had no clue he was here.
The story of Kamal Derwish goes beyond Lackawanna, New York here. He later was targeted by U.S. forces in Yemen.
Well, as far as we could piece it together, the Yemeni government tipped off the CIA that there was a car heading across a highway in Yemen with Al-Qaeda operatives in it. A Predator aircraft launched a missile on November 3, 2002, and you may remember that incident where the car was blown up and all these people were killed. At first, everyone wanted to take a lot of credit for it, including the National Security Advisor on Sunday programs, and then all of a sudden there was quiet. When it was realized that an American citizen had been killed. We believe, as far as we can tell, the first American killed in a what is called extreme measure in the history of our war on Al-Qaeda.
And how would you describe the way that people of other people of Yemeni extraction in Lackawanna, New York, what do they make of this whole thing?
There was great shock in the community amongst the leaders and so on, and disbelief. And in fact, their eventual confessions has also caused even more shock. But I think in the end, people feel that they were pursuing something naively. They were dealing with a very sophisticated person who was on a mission to recruit them, and that's what happened. At the same time, they like to say, and I think justly so, that there really is no evidence in this massive investigation that this group of six people were planning to do anything.
Well, Lowell Bergman, producer and correspondent for the PBS Frontline Chasing the Sleeper Cell, which airs on Thursday night, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.